I suppose there is no sermon more personally relevant to every living soul than the sobering sight of a coffin in the grave. We see death and are reminded of the brevity of life and the frailty of our earthly existence. Scripture tells us that it is better to go into the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that house of mourning is the end of all men, and the living are to learn, the living are to take it to heart. If we have been born, it is absolutely certain that we must die. The time of our birth and the time of our death is fixed. They are both marked by God's unchanging calendar of events. The day of death for all of us here cannot be altered, and it cannot be avoided. And the question for us today is, how will it be in that day when we transition from this life to the next? For as final as death appears to be, death is not the end of things. There is an eternity that follows time, and death is simply the door, either to eternal life or to eternal punishment in the presence of the damned. And that brings us to think briefly of the text that I want to bring to your attention this morning. From the psalm that Marianne requested to be read on this occasion, I was taken particularly once again with the 15th verse, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. A text that in many ways brings us to the riddle of death. For death is not just what it appears to be. There is more to death than meets the eye. Interesting that the Lord declares in the prophecy of Ezekiel, in a text where He is concerned with the wicked, a text that describes the invitation that the Lord gives to those wicked people to repent before it is too late. In that text, the Lord says that He has no pleasure in the death of those that die. But yet in contrast, we come to the text that we have before us, and we find that there is something quite precious in the sight of the Lord about the death of a saint. There is a death that opens up to misery. There is a death that opens up to bliss and glory. The one death is honorable, it's dear, it's glorious in the sight of God. And the death of our sister Marianne testifies and declares, because she was a saint of God, because she testified to that saving relationship that she knew with the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that this day that we celebrate and consider the testimony, as we consider the homegoing of our sister Marianne, that her dying has been indeed a special occasion. So the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked that die, but yet He tells us that the death of a saint is precious in His sight. So that begs the question that we must all encounter, that we must all face today as we stand before this sermon before us. What will our death be like? Will our death be one that the Lord takes no pleasure in? Or will our death be one that indeed, as our sister's was, precious in His sight? What will our death look like to the Lord? And it's clear from the text before us that the Lord sees the death of a saint differently than we can see. In many ways, I say this is a day of joy. But it is not a day of happiness. For we sorrow today. And death for even a believer, for the family, for those that are left behind, of those that have passed on, is a day of sorrow. And that's okay. The Lord has, in His purpose, defined for us days of weeping, just as He has given to us days of joy and laughter. This is a weeping time that the Lord has given to us, an instructive time that God has given to us, as we are to learn from the coffin before us these eternally significant lessons. A day of joy, but I say not a day of happiness. For today we need sorrow. We know by faith. We know by faith where our sister is. We know by faith that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ in life as your Savior. To be absent from this old body is to be found in the very presence of the Lord of heaven. We know that by faith. But by sight we see that which generates sorrow. Today we have before us a body that can no longer function. We have before us today eyes that can no longer see. We have lips that can no longer speak or sing. We have feet that now are incapable of motion. We have a loss. Those of this church have lost a dear fellow member. We have lost a fellow servant in the cause of Christ through this ministry. There are those here today that have lost a sister, that have lost a mother, have lost a grandmother, have lost an aunt. We have losses. And as we contemplate the loss, and as particularly those of the family have now those many and those precious memories, there will be times when tears will come to the eyes. I had the occasion in these days to speak to the family and hear many of their remembrances of their dear mother. Her love, her devotion, her desire that each of her daughters go on with the Lord, that they know the Savior, that they had the opportunity in growing up to attend places, institutions where they would be taught the things of God. Greatly impressed. A story that Barbie told me concerning those early days. Children now coming to the point of school, and Mary Ann, Jimmy having no desire to put their children in public schools, wanting a Christian education, but how could that be afforded? Mary Ann sold her jewelry. Mary Ann sold her wedding rings in order to have the funds to put her children in a Christian institution. I say those are memories that will never be forgotten, that testify to a mother's love for her children, that desired above all things, far beyond things of time and circumstance and temporal things, but a desire to see them go on spiritually, a desire to see them mature and to go on with the Lord. I say there are many things that we will remember today as evidences of our loss. But our loss is Mary Ann's gain. Her gain in her death was incalculable. It was immediate. It was everlasting. All the suffering that she endured, particularly in these last several weeks of her earthly sojourn, those sufferings are now past. And she has now entered into that joy that is unmixed forever. The frailty and the sickness of body has now been replaced with that perfect joy and that perfect peace, that perfect bliss in the presence of the Lord. There are many ways that we desire her presence here, that we desire again to have her fellowship among us, but I can say this with absolute certainty, that Mary Ann today has no desire to be with us. She has no desire to be here, notwithstanding the love that she had for her daughters and her family. Her desire is now complete. Her desire is now completely satisfied as she finds herself. While we're here, she's there in the very presence of the Savior that she loved. So today we sorrow, but we sorrow not as those that have no hope. We sorrow not as those that look at death ignorantly, those that look at death blindly as though it is the end of things. For we know that death is not the end of things. There is, for the believer, a wonderful and eternal and abundant life that is ahead. And death simply the door that has entered into glory. For the ungodly, it is not so. For the ungodly, death is not the end of things either. But that door enters into punishment. And that door enters into eternal damnation and condemnation with all of the wicked, with all of the unrighteous. An existence that continues, but one that can be avoided by coming to a knowledge of Mary Ann's Lord and her Savior. So I say there are reasons today why we would sorrow. As we look at death, it appears to be a final thing. It appears to be a grieving thing. What we see. We know better by faith. We know better by faith, but what we see about death is not a pretty picture. But yet, it is precious, the death of a saint in the eyes and in the sight of the Lord. What we know by faith, the Lord knows by sight. And He sees the death of our sister as an honorable thing, as a dear thing, as a valuable thing in His sight. I thought, you know, when the Lord created the world, He made everything and it was good and it was pure, it was pristine. And when God created the world, He looked at the world that He had created and He said, "That's good. That's good." But yet, when He looked at the death of a saint, when He saw the death of Mary Ann, it was more than good. It was more than good. It was that which He declared as being a valuable thing, a precious thing in His sight. When Mary Ann entered heaven safe in the arms of Jesus, the Lord saw a most precious event. Oh, he sees our sorrow. The Lord sees the sorrow that we have, and he joins in that because he is afflicted in all of our afflictions. He's the Father of all mercies, the God of all comforts. He knows the infirmity of our flesh. He knows the sorrow of our heart, and he enters into that experience with us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember on that occasion when his friend Lazarus had died. You find the Lord there in the company of Lazarus's sisters, loved ones and friends. And he saw their grief and he saw their sorrow, and we have those very pointed words that Jesus wept. Oh, not for Lazarus, but joining in the experience and joining in that God-man sympathy with those that he cared for and those that he loved, he wept. And so there is a sense in which, as we are in our sorrow today, the Lord Savior Christ is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He feels and he cares. And we can cast our cares and we can cast our concerns to that throne of grace even now, knowing that he cares for us, that he loves us. But yet the Lord sees the death of a saint, I say, differently than what we see. He sees one of his redeemed coming to glory. He sees another one of his redeemed now adding to those many myriads of voices in heaven, singing praise and worship to his holy name. On earth, Marianne was given a voice that she loved to employ in testifying of the Lord, a voice that she loved to employ in singing the praises of her Savior. But now in glory, she employs that voice along with the angels, along with all of the other saints that have entered that place before her. She now uses that voice in praise and worship, unhindered, unaffected, a perfect praise that she now renders under her Savior. Another voice in that heavenly chorus. And so the Lord says, when I see this new voice in the heavenly choir, it's precious. It's a precious thing in the sight of the Lord. But he sees also one that walked with him in the land of the living, now passing triumphantly without fear through that valley of deep darkness, having gone through that valley of the shadow of death, coming in to his presence. From our perspective, we talk about Marianne's home going. From the Lord's perspective, it was a homecoming. Having gone through this veil of time, having walked, I say, through those dark shadows, she has now passed triumphantly into the very presence of the Lord. The Lord sees a home going that for him is a homecoming. I was impressed on the several occasions that I had to see Marianne during these final days of the truth of that song that we opened the service with, Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. His rod, his staff, there to comfort. But I saw her sometimes in great agitation. Could tell the pain was coming through and there was a nervousness, an agitation of body. Difficult to see. But I remember at her bedside simply quoting the words of Psalm 23. And that agitation and that what appeared to be the uncontrollable movements of her body immediately stopped. And there was a quietness and there was a stillness. And even as I was able to read the scripture to her, I will never, I hope, soon forget the peace that came on that frail face. And mouthing the words, and we could just barely make out the words, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. What we could not see in the depths of her own soul, in the depths of her own heart, could testify to the presence of her Savior. She knew what it was to walk in that deep and that dark valley. But she knew the victory of faith, conscious of His presence, even in that dark place. There's something attractive. There's something attractive about the death of a saint. That old wicked prophet, looking at Israel in the wilderness, expressed his desire, "Let me die the death of the righteous." It's a good desire. The desire that every one of us ought to have. And as we see the passing of a saint, I say there ought to be something attractive about that to us. That ought to be the desire of every one of us, that we die that way, that we die the death of the righteous, that we die a death that will be precious in the sight of the Lord. The Lord sees the death of His saint, and that death is precious to Him because He sees again the success of the work of His Son in bringing many sons to glory. When He sees the death of a saint, He sees one for whom His Son died. Another evidence of the power of the gospel to save a soul. For the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world to deal with sin, to reverse the curse, not the least of which is that great enemy of ours that we call death. He conquered death. Death was conquered by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That great curse has now become, for the saint, a transition to the place of blessing, place of happiness, place of bliss. And I say every time a saint dies, there is the joy, there is the notion in the mind and the heart of the Almighty God. The sacrifice of my Son. The sacrifice of my Son upon the cross of Calvary to save sinners has worked again. And Marianne's entering into the presence of heaven's glory testified to the absolute power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to save a sinner from his sins. Brings joy to heaven. A precious thing because our sister was united to her Savior. Her sins were forgiven by the blood that was shed on Calvary's tree. And it is only being cleansed with that precious blood, it is only coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one that can reverse the curse of sin, the only one that can reverse the curse of death, that will make a death precious in the sight of the Lord. Christ conquered death for His people. He came into this world to save His people. He came into this world to die for His people. And His people, those that have been covered by His precious blood, those that know what it is to have their sins forgiven by the sacrifice of Christ and the grace of God, only those will have the kind of death that Marianne had. A death that heaven declares to be a precious thing. So I say the Lord sees the death of a saint differently than what we can see. And it's sainthood that makes the difference. It is sainthood that makes the difference as to how the Lord sees that death. Raises the question, what's a saint? What's a saint? Marianne has testified by her life that she was a saint of God. What made her a saint? It was not her pleasant smile. It was not her happy disposition. Not her kindness that made her a saint. For being a saint is not something that we do. Being a saint is something that we receive. Sainthood here is that which is received. It is not something that is achieved. The word literally is that one that has received mercy. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of that one that has received mercy. That one that has received grace. It is the reception of grace, it is the reception of divine mercy that transitions a sinner into a saint. Marianne died a death that was precious in the sight of the Lord. And always that way. She was born in sin. She was a slave to sin. She was born an heir of the wrath of God. She was born a candidate for condemnation. She was born one that was worthy of hell's damnation. Oh, the prospect of her death was not a precious thing. But something changed. Something changed that changed the prospect of a death to damnation, to a death that was precious in the sight of the Lord. One day she found the Lord Jesus Christ as the source of life, as her Savior. If sainthood depended upon what she could do, she would never have attained that sainthood. But one day her life was hid with Christ in God. One day the indwelling Christ became the hope of glory for her. She repented of her sins. She came in simple faith to trust the only Redeemer, the only Mediator between God and men. She came to understand that her sin deserved eternal damnation. But there was one that so loved her that gave his only begotten Son for her, and she trusted him. She repented of her sins and she trusted him for her salvation. If you read the tribute that Mary Margaret has written on the back of your program, you'll find indeed that that was one of the means by which she taught the girls their need for Christ. God so loved not the world, but God loved Mary Margaret, Barbie and Sherry and Lori. And you fill in the blank. God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will but believe in him will have everlasting life, will be passed from death to life, will be passed from that kind of death that brings no pleasure in the sight of God to that death then, that when it comes for certain it will, but that death that the Lord says is precious in my sight. She was a saint because she found in Christ the source of her life. She found in Christ the sustainer of her life. She knew in all of her sufferings, a widow for these several years, that there was one that would sustain her, one that was close to her, one that met her needs, one to whom she could turn at every point of life. She found Christ to be the sustainer of her life. She found Christ as the end of her life. She knew the peace of the gospel. She knew what it was. In the quietness of that hospice room to enter, to be with her Lord, to be with her Savior. It was Marianne's desire, above all things, that as in her life, so in her death, the love of Christ, the gospel of saving grace would be clear, would be set forth. Nothing would be of greater joy to her. For you, than to know that you know her Savior. You know her Lord. And that when one day some preacher stands over your pulpit or over your coffin, that the sermon can be the same. Precious. In the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. A saint so made by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleansed from sin, satisfied God's wrath, opens heaven. May Marianne's Savior be before you today and in the days to come. We rejoice that she is in the presence of the Lord. May one day we all see her again, as we too, who are believers, will join in that chorus, in that heavenly choir, singing our praise, giving our worship to that wonderful Savior. May God bless. May God bless the family in these days. I commend you each one to the Lord, that in these days of immediate sorrow that you will know the consolation, that comfort, that immediate presence of the Lord. Girls, you have a great legacy. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. For Christ's sake. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it is our prayer that as we have reflected upon our sister and her Savior, that we would see the attraction, that it would be the desire of everyone here to die the death of the righteous, to anticipate our own death that will be precious in the sight of the Lord. So, Father, bless our time, bless our worship. May the Spirit of God speak to us each one according to our need. And may, Lord, as we sorrow, as we weep, let us do so in the joy of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.